today, I was just captured by the thought of those moments, those reminders when you are being welcomed onto a marae. When the waiata is sung, this karanga that calls out over the people to those gathered at the gate, calling out, inviting, welcoming. And there is a sense that the Holy Spirit does that for us as well. There is a voice of the Holy Spirit that is like a karanga that sends out a welcome that people may gather, that people may come in, that people may come home and find their place of belonging in the house of God. Today we're looking at the life of Abraham and Sarah, and this calling on their lives to be blessed in order to be a blessing to other people, that through them all the nations of the world would be blessed. This is a part of a series that we're doing, looking at to bless the nations, looking at some of the Old Testament characters that point to Jesus and what we can learn from them. And today, before we enter into this story, there's this reality that our nation, our world has had a couple of years of disruption and disconnection. For some, there's a desperation to get back into church gatherings, to be back in the way things were. And for others, there's a desire to grow into new areas where the Holy Spirit is calling us. But as I've been thinking about it over the last year, I truly believe that one of the greatest opportunities and the call of the church right now is to welcome people into homes, to offer hospitality, generous, radical, costly hospitality, in order to be a blessing to our neighbours and to our world. First, I want to share a bit of a story about hospitality. I grew up in a home where the home was constantly expanding. There was lots of people that used to stay in our home. There were always extras that lived there, whether that be children with disabilities, whether that be recovering drug addicts. I grew up in a home that constantly had extra people. And there was always extra guests at the table. And sometimes my two brothers would humor ourselves whenever we had a new guest sitting around the dining table, and we would pretend that we didn't know what manners were. We'd pick up the cutlery and say, Mom, what are these? What are these metal things? What are they for? I've never seen any of these before, Mom. What are you supposed to use those for? And pretend that we didn't have any sense of manners that she was dutifully trying to train us in. But I love the fact that we grew up in a home where there was constantly extras there. There was always space at the table for another person. Abraham and Sarah are a family in the Old Testament that God called. And God called to use this gift of hospitality and generosity. In Genesis 12, we read, "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. And here's the blessing part. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. You'll be a blessing to other people. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on the earth will be blessed through you.'" Imagine if that was the call on your life, that everyone in the world would be blessed through you. That's quite profound. The first thing I want to say about this blessing is that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of that blessing. All people on the earth would ultimately be blessed through Jesus, the descendant of Abraham and Sarah. They would provide the lineage into which Jesus was born. Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, the Savior of the world. Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham that all the people of the world would be blessed through them. In Galatians 3 and 13 to 14, we read that we see the way that Paul relates this blessing as being bestowed upon the Gentiles through the redemptive work of Jesus on the cross. And so in one sense, as Abraham is the father of the Israelites and the Jewish people, ultimately that sense of holiness and separation that they held as a nation was something that was just for a period of time. And through that, God was hoping to not just bless those ones, but to bless every nation of the work of the world through salvation available through Jesus Christ alone. The second part of this is that God blesses the nations through Abraham and Sarah's hospitality. There is a costly relocation that takes place. God moves them to a new land. Have you ever been moved to a new land, a new location, a new setting? And in this setting that God moves them to, away from their family, away from what is familiar, he moves them to basically the State Highway 1 of the ancient world, the main trading route between the northern nations and Egypt and Africa. And in this setting, God has placed Abraham and Sarah that they may offer hospitality to the nations who were passing through. It's a costly move, but it's a perfect location to be a blessing to the nations. And then God uses their gift of hospitality, radical hospitality. In keeping with the ancient customs of the time, there was this kind of like a safe zone around the settlements and a mutual agreement amongst people. There was an expectation that those who were settlers there would provide hospitality and refreshment to the travelers who were passing through. And in exchange, those travelers would not steal their stuff or take their land. There was this mutual, neutral kind of ground there in the middle. But obviously there's also risk as well. It's a risky thing to offer hospitality to the stranger. And Abraham and Sarah take this to the extreme. One example is shown in Genesis 18. These three strangers turn up. It gives an example of the kind of radical hospitality that Abraham and Sarah are offering those who travel past. They've only just met these men, and he's already offering to serve them, to get water, to wash their feet, to offer refreshment. They've only just met, and he's already bringing out the best home baking and knocking off the best calf in order to feed them the very best of what they had. Radical, generous hospitality. And it seems that this kind of generosity produces even more blessing and even more favor for Abraham and Sarah. Can you think of a time? Can you think of people who extended generous hospitality in your life? Can you think of the people that you grow up with, or the people that you know now that model this kind of generous hospitality? In our teenage years, Jenny and I used to go to Te Aritu Bible Chapel. And there was a couple there, Gordon and Barbara Stewart, who opened up their home every single Sunday. Every single Sunday. They welcomed as many people as they could squeeze into their home. Teenagers and elderly and children all there together. And in that space, dozens and dozens, for the entire afternoon and drifting towards the evening as well, there would be fun and games, ping pong, pool, board games. There would be food and in-depth conversation. There would be brokenness and pastoral care. There would be worship and prayer. Their demonstration of hospitality made a huge impact on Jenny and I. We wanted to be a couple that opened up our home to other people as well. Can you think of people that have demonstrated hospitality in your life and the impact that it had on you and your faith? Just this weekend, a family invited Jenny and I and our family to stay. What kind of a family invites seven people over for the long weekend? A family with an outstanding gift of hospitality. And I say thank you. And there's another example that I can think of in the life of our church at the moment. And you might be frustrated with me talking about these kind of things over and over again, but these are the seasons that we're in. There are different types of groups of people within our church with very different needs at this time. And amongst the division and isolation caused by the vaccination discussion, what I'm observing is families that are feeling called to offer hospitality to different groups of people within the church. Some to offer kind of really safe, kind of vaccine-only, medically safe settings where there is additional precautions to make people feel safe in those settings. And for some people, there is a huge need for that, people that have some genuine health concerns. And as well as that, there are a number of families that have said, I want my home to be a place for anyone and everyone to be able to come. And there's no sense of kind of having to filter them based on their views or their opinions or their vaccination status or their possibility of risk. There are some people who have felt called to open their homes. And that offer, I know, is still there. If you're someone who needs this kind of connection in whatever setting that looks like, I know that there are homes available in our church. Please let me know and we will put you in contact. And there is a great need within our community at the moment. And I was praying about this over recent months, and I believe even more strongly than ever that there is something significant that God is calling us to do right now, to extend generous hospitality through our homes and through the way that we welcome each other. We live in a city with a housing crisis. We live at a time where many in the health system are saying that the health system will be overloaded and we will be the ones that need to be relied on increasingly to care for one another in our community in the weeks ahead. When we read through the book of Acts, why don't you do that this term? Read through the book of Acts and take note of how much of the activity of the church is located in homes. Time after time again. In fact, the central place of the church of the book of Acts is located in homes more than anywhere else. And I believe that if we negate that, we're missing out on a vital part of what it means to be the people of God and what it means to be the church. However, there is a cost to this. And just like Abraham and Sarah, hospitality is a costly calling. At times, it means welcoming people when you don't feel like it, when you want to be alone, especially in these COVID times when the natural reaction of many people is to withdraw. There is a cost in reaching outwards. At times, it means offering the very best which you were hoping to save for yourself. At times, it's as costly as relocating. At times, there is risk involved as you place yourself where people need you to be. But Jesus never calls us to something that we can't do. This hospitality, I believe, will look different from one person to the next. I think it's attached to our own individual and unique sense of calling that God has given us. As an example of this, Jenny and I, when we were fostering children over the last 17 years, we never felt to take on teenagers. We never felt to take on young adults with drug problems. There were certain risks that we were assessing in relation to having young children. And yet I know that there were other households in the church that were called to do that very thing, to take in teenagers, to take in those young adults who were really struggling with alcohol and drug addictions. For us, that was a risk that Jesus wasn't asking us to do. So yes, it was costly. Yes, our boundaries get stretched. Yes, it's outside of our comfort zone. But God will never call us to do something where we feel in danger and outside of our depth. God will always give us the grace to do everything that he calls us to do. The Holy Spirit will enable and will provide for all that he calls us to do. And we will find that as we are stretched to offer radical hospitality, we are joining in with the very heart of God. So my first point was that Jesus is the ultimate expression of this blessing to the nations through Abraham. The second point, I lost my notes, is something to do with Abraham and that vehicle of hospitality being the setting of God's blessing. The third aspect of this is the hospitality of God. God is a God of welcome, of invitation, of belonging. His love and his mission and his desire to reach the whole world is expressed through Christian hospitality. Abraham and Sarah were blessed. They were blessed materially and spiritually and with a land of promise and with descendants. However, notice how light-handed Abraham is with what God has given, willing to give away the best, even willing to offer the very best land to his nephew, and generously passes on that blessing to others. Indeed, we are blessed in whatever way that looks like. And we are blessed in order to be a blessing to other people. No matter what you have, whether it's small or great, there is something that can be used as a blessing to one another, to another person. It might be as costly as a tea bag to offer a cup of tea. For others, it may be far more costly than that. For one farming family I knew in Waihee, God called them to build a house and gift it to the church trust as a transitional home for those in crisis. And so whether as big as that or as small as a teabag, we are called to share and offer hospitality and join in the very heart of God. And God's love and God's mission is expressed through radical hospitality. But here's another angle on it. Just as we are communicating the mission of God through this generosity, we're also receiving it as we find ourselves in a setting where the stranger is actually the Savior. Did you notice that with Abraham and Sarah, those three guests turn out to be heavenly beings that they were hosting? Paul tells us that sometimes in our hospitality, we are unaware that we're actually hosting angels. And Jesus says, whenever you feed the hungry, whenever you welcome the stranger, whatever you did for the least of these, my brethren, you did it for me. And so as we open up our homes and lives to others, we are in fact doing this for Jesus, welcoming Jesus into that part of our lives as well. I wonder what Jesus might be talking to you about today. I wonder what spaces Jesus is asking you to make room for him. To lay aside aspects of your own comfort and self-protection in order to serve the people that Jesus has called you to specifically. So I've got three questions: who and what and how. Firstly, who? Who are the people that Jesus is asking you to offer hospitality to? And secondly, what? What is Jesus asking you to sacrifice in order to do this? And thirdly, how? How can you point people to Jesus through your conversations with the people that you are hosting? I'm going to pick up on this a little bit more next week with some details of how we can practically engage those conversations to take them deeper to that place of connection and pointing people to Jesus and prayer and God's word and worship. Some practical tips next week as we look at Waitangi weekend and a slightly different service that we have ahead of us next week.